Our text for this morning is Zechariah chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. And I said to them, "If it is good in your sight, give me my wages, but if not, never mind." So they weighed out 30 shekels of silver as my wages. Then the Lord said to me, "Throw it to the potter, that magnificent price at which I was valued by them." So I took the 30 shekels of silver and threw them to the potter in the house of the Lord. To the south and west of Jerusalem, there is the Valley of Hinnom. It is just outside the gates of Jerusalem itself. In olden times, during the time of Jeremiah the prophet and Ahaz and Jezebel, children were sacrificed there to the false god Moloch, and human sacrifices were performed to the false god Baal. In this same area, there were also scattered graves and tombs. During the time of Christ, there was a continual burning of refuse in Gehenna, as it was called. And the Lord Jesus Christ likened this valley to hell itself. Some of the Jewish commentators called this valley the very mouth of hell. There was also a potter's field located in this valley. This was a place where there were deposits of white clay, which was good for making pottery. Consequently, the potters lived in the valley to make their goods. This, too, was the place where the priests bought the potter's field with the 30 pieces of silver they had originally paid to Judas Iscariot, and which Judas had thrown into the temple, and the priests, in turn, unable to keep this money of blood in the temple treasury, bought with it the potter's field. In the little map that I've given you in your bulletins, at the bottom of the map, in the bottom center of the map, you'll see a little square marked Field of Blood, Hakaldama, or Field of Blood. It is at the mouth of the Valley of Hinnom, Gehenna, as it was called in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to this potter's field and to the silver paid to Judas Iscariot and the price of the potter's field which Zechariah refers in our text. But as we get into this particular text, which is somewhat complex, I want us to understand that we're going to do two or three things. I want us, first of all, to kind of get the textual background, the context, if you will, of verses 12 and 13. And so we're going to look a little bit at the context of these particular verses in Zechariah chapter 11. Then I want you to understand, too, that Zechariah the prophet gets his ideas. His prophecy is based upon the words of Jeremiah, who spoke almost 100 years before the prophet Zechariah. And then finally, after we look at Zechariah a little bit and get the background of the prophecy of Zechariah in Jeremiah, I want to look at the New Testament and see specifically how this prophecy in Zechariah, which is based on the prophet Jeremiah, is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's get into this text. As you will recall, Zechariah was prophesying in order to encourage the people of Israel in their work of rebuilding the temple. The people had come back from captivity in Babylon, and having come back, they were charged with rebuilding the temple of the living God and reinstituting the true worship of God in the world. But they were apathetic to their task. They did not continue in the work which they were supposed to be doing in rebuilding and reestablishing the worship of the true and living God. And the work of rebuilding the temple after the foundation of the temple had been laid, that work had been stalled for some 18 years. And now, Zechariah, the prophet, comes on the scene. And his theme The theme of this little book is a call to return to the Lord. Obviously, if people are going to get busy at the work of rebuilding the church, there must be a return to the Lord. And we find in the first chapter of Zechariah, in the first three verses, the theme of this book. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah the prophet, the son of Berechiah, the son of Ida, saying, "The Lord was very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, declares the Lord of hosts, that I may return to you, says the Lord of hosts." Again, a return to the Lord was absolutely necessary if indeed the work of rebuilding the true worship of God in the world was to take place. And so Zechariah is encouraging a return to the Lord. And he gives impetus to the people to return to the Lord. We saw last week that one of the ways that Zechariah gives impetus to the people to return to the Lord is announcing that their king is coming. In Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9 it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Yes, their king was coming. It was to be a long time, almost 500 years before he would actually come. But that was immaterial. The fact was that the king was coming, and that was to give impetus to the people to prepare as the bride of Christ for the coming of their king. But now, in Zechariah chapter 11, Zechariah speaks as the good shepherd who is to come. And this is an interesting section of the book of Zechariah. Because we find that when the good shepherd comes, he comes to a flock which is to be abandoned. Yes, the people of God were to reinstitute a true worship of God in the world. But as I said, they were apathetic. Even in the face of their coming king, they were apathetic. And so when the king comes, he comes to attempt to shepherd the people of God. But finding that they rebuff him and reject him and turn away from him, he in turn abandons them and announces to them that the kingdom will be given to others. And it is a fact, when Jesus Christ came, he tried to shepherd Israel. He bypassed the official ministry because the ministry was corrupt. The scribes and the chief priests and the Pharisees, they were corrupt. And he came to pasture the flock of God. But in the end, because the official ministry turned the people against the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus himself stood and looked at Jerusalem and cried, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who have stoned the prophets and killed those who have come to you. Oh, how I would have gathered you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not." And the Lord Jesus Christ cried over the city of Jerusalem. This is what Zechariah chapter 11, verses 4, 5, and 6 is all about. Look at them with me. "Thus says the Lord my God, pasture the flock doomed to slaughter. Those who buy them slay them and go unpunished. And each of those who sell them says, 'Blessed be the Lord, for I have become rich.' And their own shepherds have no pity on them. For I shall no longer have pity on the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord. But behold, I shall cause the men to fall, each into another's power and into the power of his king, and they shall strike the land, and I shall not deliver them from their power." Yes, the nation was to be given over, to be abandoned. And this is what the burden of this particular portion of the prophecy really gives us. We also know that when Jesus Christ took up his ministry, he was finally rejected. Again, the official ministry, the priests and the scribes, rejected him. They stirred up the people to have him crucified. At first, the people widely assembled around the Lord Jesus Christ and followed him. But in the end, he was rejected. And so Christ, prior to his crucifixion, took an important step and abandoned the people Israel. I'd like you to see this in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 through 38. It's the end of that chapter. Again, that text which I quoted in part to you, Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 and 38. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. Yes, because he was being rejected, Jesus Christ determined that the kingdom was to be given to others. In Zechariah chapter 11, verses 7 through 11, words which were spoken almost 500 years before the coming of Christ, we see the prophecy which speaks of the abandonment of Israel. Again, Zechariah 11, beginning with verse 7. So I pastured the flock doomed to slaughter, hence the afflicted of the flock. And I took for myself two staffs, one I called favor and the other I called union. So I pastured the flock. Then I annihilated the three shepherds in 1 month, for my soul was impatient with them, and their soul also was weary with me. Then I said, I will not pasture you. What is to die, let it die. And what is to be annihilated, let it be annihilated. And let those who are left eat one another's flesh. And I took my staff, favor, and I cut it in pieces to break my covenant which I had made with all the peoples. So it was broken on that day, and thus the afflicted of the flock who were watching me realized that it was the word of the Lord. Here in symbolic fashion, the prophet takes, representing the good shepherd, takes the staff, which is favor, which is the grace of God, and he breaks it, representing the breaking of the covenant with the people. Yes, the kingdom was taken away from the house of Israel. The good shepherd came. The good shepherd came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. And his ministry was rejected. And because his ministry was rejected, he abandoned the people, Israel, and gave the kingdom to others. Do you realize what that means? It means that people like you and me have the privilege of being a part of the kingdom. What a blessing that is for us. The good shepherd is due wages for his labor. And our text this morning, verses 12 and 13, speak of the wages of the good shepherd. And I said to them, if it is good in your sight, give me my wages. But if not, never mind. So they weighed out 30 shekels of silver as my wages. What wages are really due to the good shepherd from his people? The wages due to the good shepherd are the wages of repentance and faith. We are to repent of sin and trust in this Good Shepherd who is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into the world. For what purpose? He came into the world to die on Calvary's cross, to pay the penalty due to people like you and me for their sins. The wages due to the Good Shepherd are the wages, first of all, of repentance. We must turn away from all known sin. Secondly, the wages due to the Good Shepherd include faith. We must trust this Good Shepherd as the one who did indeed pay the penalty due to us for our sins. When we trust Him and what He has done, we no longer stand in a place where judgment falls upon us, because judgment has been taken and consumed by Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, these are the wages which are due the Good Shepherd, the wages of repentance and faith. But the people of old rejected Jesus Christ. They would not see Him as the Good Shepherd. They would not see Him as the Messiah. They would not see Him as the suffering servant. They would not see Him as the one who would die in their place, taking upon Himself the wrath of God due to them for their sins. And so they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And they paid Him wages, all right. They paid Him the pitiful sum of 30 pieces of silver. I'd like you to turn back in your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 32. Exodus 21, 32. If the ox gores a male or female slave, the owner shall give his or her master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. 30 pieces of silver amounts to the price to be paid for a slave, for a menial servant. This is an incredible thing. If an ox would happen to gore a male or female slave, the penalty was 30 pieces of silver. You could get out from under that difficulty very easily. 30 pieces of silver. The price of a slave gored by an ox. Kill an Israelite and it was a different matter. Life for life. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. Kill a slave and you could purchase that slave for 30 pieces of silver. What were the wages paid to the Good Shepherd for His work? Contemptible wages. 30 pieces of silver. Imagine this, my friends, that the people of God should consider that the blood of Jesus Christ is worth only 30 pieces of silver. You can't, in actuality, put a price on that blood. But a price was put on it. Insulting wages given to the Good Shepherd. And what is the Good Shepherd to do with these contemptible wages? Look at verse 13. Then the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that magnificent price at which I was valued by them. So I took the 30 shekels of silver and threw them to the potter in the house of the Lord. I want you to note three things very briefly in verse 13. First, I want you to note the sarcasm, that magnificent price. There is biting sarcasm here. Oh, do you dare value the blood of Jesus Christ with any sum of money, let alone the price paid for a slave? Contemptible wages, that magnificent price. And then notice that the wages go to the potter. Remember the potter's field that we talked about in the introduction? The potter's field? Yes, the wages are to go to the potter. Then the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that magnificent price at which I was valued by them. So I took the 30 shekels of silver and threw them to the potter in the house of the Lord. The silver is to go to the potter by way of the temple. Now I want you to hold that. I want you to hold that thought, that the silver is to go to the potter by way of the temple. And I'd like you to turn now to the prophet Jeremiah to get some of the background which Zechariah saw in his own words concerning the potter and the potter's field. First of all, in Jeremiah chapter 18. Again, let me emphasize the fact that Zechariah took the background of Jeremiah for his prophecy. And we must go to the prophet Jeremiah to understand more fully the prophecy of Zechariah. Now we go back in history another 100 years. Jeremiah prophesied almost 100 years before the prophet Zechariah. And he spoke about the potter and the potter's field. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 1. Jeremiah 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I shall announce my words to you. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on a wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel, as it pleased the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does? Declares the Lord, behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The potter's house was in the valley of Hinnom, the valley in which human sacrifices were performed, the valley in which children were sacrificed to the false god Moloch. The blood of innocent people was spilled greatly in this valley. And the prophet Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house to watch the potter. And the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah. And God says, can I not deal with you, O people of Israel, in the very same way that this potter deals with his clay? Jeremiah chapter 19. Thus says the Lord, go and buy a potter's earthenware jar, and take some of the elders of the people and some of the senior priests. Then go out to the valley of Ben-Hinnom, which is by the entrance to the potsherd gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell you, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am about to bring a calamity upon this place, at which the ears of everyone who hears of it will tingle, because they have forsaken me, and have made this an alien place, and have burned sacrifices in it to other gods, that neither they nor their forefathers nor the kings of Judah had ever known, because they have filled this place with the blood of the innocent. Yes, in the valley of Hinnom, the blood flowed, the blood of the innocent. Human sacrifices, as I have said, and sacrifices to false gods. Verse 5 continues, and have built the high places of Baal and turned their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal, a thing which I never commanded or spoke of, nor did it ever enter my mind. Therefore, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when this place will no longer be called Topheth, or the valley of Ben-Hinnom, but rather the valley of slaughter. And I shall make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I shall cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hand of those who seek their life, and I shall give over their carcasses as food for the birds of the sky and the beasts of the earth. I shall also make this city a desolation and an object of hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and hiss because of all its disasters. And I shall make them eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they will eat one another's flesh in the siege and in the distress with which their enemies and those who seek their life will distress them. Judgment's coming. Judgment is coming because the people of God have turned away from the living God to false gods and done abominable things. Jeremiah has gone down to the potter's house, and he has gone down to the valley of Hinnom, where these atrocities were taking place. And he has taken with him a clay pot, symbolic of the nation of Israel. And he is prophesying judgment upon the people. I want to read verses 10 through 13 now in Jeremiah chapter 19. Then you are to break the jar in the sight of the men who accompany you and say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, just so shall I break this people and this city, even as one breaks a potter's vessel, which cannot again be repaired, and they will bury in Topheth, because there is no other place for burial. This is how I shall treat this place and its inhabitants, declares the Lord, so as to make this city like Topheth, and the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah will be defiled like the place Topheth, because of all the houses on whose rooftops they burned sacrifices to all the heavenly hosts and poured out libations to other gods. Topheth is another word for Hinnom, the valley of Hinnom. And Jeremiah takes this clay pot and he breaks it. And he says to the people, the nation will be broken like this clay pot, and it will be buried in the valley of Hinnom. Do you know what he's saying, dear friends? He's saying you are hellbound, and this is the place of judgment, this valley, which Jesus Christ later likens to hell itself. It is this background upon which the prophet Zechariah builds in his prophecy. And he speaks of the coming of the Good Shepherd, who desires to bring salvation to his people Israel. And does the Good Shepherd receive the wages for his labor in dying and rising again? The wages of repentance and faith? No, he doesn't. He receives contemptible wages, 30 pieces of silver. Let us not be, dear friends in Christ, apathetic concerning the rebuilding of the house of God. Let us not have more care for our own houses than for the house of God. The King is coming, Jesus Christ. And we need to be busy about the business of preparing ourselves to meet the King. And as a church of Jesus Christ, we need to be busy preparing ourselves as the bride of Christ for the wedding feast of the Lamb. And we will do that if we will diligently study the Word of God together, and not only study it together, but apply the Word of God in every area of our lives, and see to it that the gospel is proclaimed vigorously, that men and women are brought to repentance, that they trust in Jesus Christ and are embraced by the church of Jesus Christ. Let us not be apathetic, because if we are apathetic concerning the rebuilding of the church of Jesus Christ, when He comes, we are in danger of rejecting Him, and He may reject us. Tough words that come to us from the prophet Jeremiah, which are taken up by the prophet Zechariah. And these words are fulfilled in the New Testament by Jesus Christ Himself. Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26 and verses 14 and 15. Matthew 26, verses 14 and 15. Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me to deliver him to you?" And they weighed out to him 30 pieces of silver. This is the price given by the people Israel for the Good Shepherd. Contemptible, disgusting wages of betrayal. Matthew 27, verses 3 through 5. Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? See that to yourself." And he threw the pieces of silver into the sanctuary and departed, and he went away and hanged himself. The 30 pieces of silver, the price paid, wages for the work of the Good Shepherd, are thrown into the temple itself and returned there as Zechariah prophesied. Matthew chapter 27, verses 6 through 10. And the chief priests took the pieces of silver and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the temple treasury, since it is the price of blood." And they counseled together with the money, bought the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one whose price had been set by the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." The price, the wages, for the work of the Good Shepherd, go to the potter's field by way of the temple, as prophesied by Zechariah 500 years earlier. Now you might wonder why the prophet Jeremiah is mentioned in verse 9 of Matthew 27. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying. The simple fact of the matter is that Zechariah built his prophecy on the words of Jeremiah. And the prophecy of Zechariah goes back to the original words of Jeremiah, spoken almost 600 years before Christ. And so the words of Jeremiah are fulfilled in what takes place with the 30 pieces of silver and the potter's field. What are the 30 pieces of silver? Contemptible wages. A sum of money showing contempt for the work of Jesus Christ. Contemptible wages given for the work of salvation. Contemptible wages given to the very Lord of glory. God forgive us when we think that the work of Jesus Christ in dying and rising again from the dead is worth a contemptible price like 30 pieces of silver. Father in heaven, may we get a little bit of handle on this text and the meaning of these 30 pieces of silver. Forgive me, O God, and forgive each one of us where we consider the blood of Jesus Christ to be valued by a sum of money, when in fact there is absolutely no price that can be put upon His work in saving sinners like us. Hear us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.